People, listen up. It's a fucking lockdown right now.
Come off it. We're not in a prison drama, are we?
We are in a prison drama. This is the fucking Shawshank Redemption, right? But with more tunneling through shit, no fucking redemption.
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Sheriff, this is no time to panic. This is the perfect time to panic.
It's not the end of the world.
I ain't going with you. I'll go with Child.
Hey, fuck you, Parker!
I'm going with you!
Who says I want you going with me?
All right, cut the bullshit!
Because the whole world gone crazy!
Hey! Everybody calm the fuck down.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. My name is Anders Holmes, and I am joined by my brother, Adam Holmes, over Skype in the United States of America. How are you?
I'm good.
Sounded like Jabba the Hutt there for a second.
I know that laugh.
Chewie, is that you?
This has got off to a good start.
Yeah, quoting Star Wars.
what are we doing?
I recommended a film last episode. What are you going to be recommending to us today?
Hello. Oh yeah.
You're right. You
sorry. See, I hate me, but I'm sorry. I don't know where I am.
Like rubbing your eyes, like getting emotional of like some film you're recommending or something.
I'm not getting emotional. I have hay fever. I live in the worst area of the country, apparently, for allergies.
Yeah. It's a good thing you're not on lockdown here because we have like a rapeseed field that surrounds our house.
A what?
A rapeseed field.
Oh, I misheard you for a second. I thought you said a rape scene. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I'm trying to talk.
Excuse me, I have to mute.
You sound like Daniel Stern in Home Alone 2. You're like, bah!
That's how I feel.
I'm trying to like talk better on the episodes because I feel like I fumble my words a little bit.
Are you okay? I'm fine.
What film are you going to be recommending to us?
It occurred to me, I'm trying to recommend a broad spectrum of films because normally if I just go with my instincts, I just end up recommending Westerns, and I've already recommended like three of them.
Yeah.
So I was trying to think, like, what genre haven't I covered as much? And I think I haven't really recommended any film noir yet. And even though it's not really a genre per se, it's definitely a sort of, you know, you can group many, many, many hundreds of films under that heading. And film noir, obviously, you know, to quickly recap, is a style that's basically identified by French critics in the aftermath of the Second World War when they get all the French, all the American films that came out in the 40s while they were under Nazi occupation, and they watch them all in one go and they realize, well, hang on a minute, there's something going on here. There's a style that seems common to all of these. Now, it's not just films from the 40s. It's not just films made in America, even that you could call film noir, but that it does feel like in these years that style gets kind of crystallized, and it comes out of German expressionism. It comes out of the sensibilities of European filmmakers who fled the Nazis to come to work in America, so they have maybe a slightly darker outlook on human life. And maybe it's just the uncertain times the films are made in. The other thing is a lot of these films were made as B movies, which meant they were necessarily cheaper, which meant that you had less scope for how you created a sense of dread and unease, and a lot of that was done through, you know, cinematography and sleight of hand. So you've got, you know, you have this you basically have this body of work that directors at the time would have called what, crime films, thrillers, detective movies. Hard-boiled is a, you know, that's the classic word we associate with the phrase we associate with these. So but you know they get lumped under this this heading of film noir, and that's really where they live to this day. So the film I'm going to recommend is, I think, one of the best of that type of movie, and it's directed by Jacques Tourneur. It is from 1947, and it is the majestic and brilliant Out of the Past.
Yeah, that's a great film. Robin Mitchum, Kirk Douglas, great film.
The late, great Kirk Douglas, indeed.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Jane Greer has a brilliant turn as the femme fatale. And you also have good performances from people like Steve Brody and Paul Valentine and Virginia Houston. It's, you know, it is, and it is the absolute classic film noir kind of plot. And it has, you know, it's about, you know, a guy who's just seemingly minding his own business, but he has a dark backstory, and he has to go back and confront that. And half the film, you know, is told in flashback that helps us get us up to the present day, and then he has to solve the problem that he currently faces. In that sense, it reminds me a lot of A History of Violence, which was directed by David Cronenberg.
Yeah, David Cronenberg, yeah.
Thank you. In 2003?
Five.
Fuck. But yeah, that for me is like almost you know, it takes the same template, albeit a little bit differently. But you know, this movie sees Robert Mitchum playing a private detective initially, who is just the perfect. There's something like film noir was made for Robert Mitchum, like his personification of Jeff Bailey. You know, he's this weary sort of, he moves slowly, has these heavy eyelids, but he's also just so cool. And he's cynical, but also has clearly got like good in him. He just feels made for this part and these roles, and this really was one of the early films that helped put him on the map, so to speak. So
do you want to know who turned down the role of Jeff Bailey before they cast Robert Mitchum?
No, who was that?
John Garfield and Dick Powell.
That's interesting. Mitchum is just too good in this role. And it's great because he's the main antagonist, the main male antagonist of the piece, of course, is Kirk Douglas. And his style is completely different. Kirk Douglas is a sort of live wire. He's very sort of electric. And I just love the contrast between the two. This is also one of Douglas's first big films.
Yeah, he's not really well known at this point.
No, and Jane Greer is just fantastic. I wish she was in more stuff. She's the really the heart of the story. She is the femme fatale, and she is a very fatale femme fatale, I can tell you that. It plays out along these traditional lines, but it's just, you know, and if you've seen a bunch of these movies, you will have seen it before, and you might even know where it's going at certain points. But there's just something utterly like deft and perfect the way that Out of the Past kind of takes you through the story. And you know, Robert Mitchum narrates the flashback in this sort of inimitable way. His performance, as I say, is just so completely perfect. I love the stuff that where they go to Mexico and then you get that slight angle, you know, reminds you a little bit of The Lady from Shanghai. And and then it takes you back to the Sierra Nevadas and sort of small town California, and you know, wraps it all up in a bow. It's just terrific, and I think it, you know, there's a lot of these movies perhaps that get lost a little bit in the general, just because there's so many of them at this point.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I'm thinking of something like The Big Combo or While the City Sleeps or something like that, which is just like, you could sort of those even though they're very good films, certainly in the case of The Big Combo, perhaps they haven't endured as much on their own as films like Out of the Past have. I think if you're new to the genre, if you're interested in checking out what this film noir thing is all about, if you want to see what want to see a good example of like early Mitchum, then I'd say, you know, start with this movie. It's just a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's definitely regarded as like I wouldn't say it's like the, like people call it like the daddy of film noir films or anything like that. I don't think it really, it wasn't the ones that started the genre, but it is one of the ones that gets talked about the most and is sort of in put in that list of like, you know, some of the greatest, you know, film noir movies of all time, because it has all the, like, it has all the classic elements that people associate with film noir: the femme fatale, the cinematography, the, you know, the complex and sort of back and forth storyline and everything like that. And, you know, it's, it, it is a really, really good film. And it also, it's, and also Mitchum's performance is really good. He just, he has, there's this kind of like, you know, there's this tragic story that, you know, that attaches to his character. And it's always the case with all these film noir films, like all these tragic backstories and all these characters sort of getting lost in like the world of murder and blackmail and, you know, falling in love with someone who probably you shouldn't really be falling in love with and things like that. Like, it has all those elements that people, you know, love. And it's, you know, it's, you know, the film noir genre has changed, and it's endured, it's still there, it's still loved, and it's definitely one of the most, it's one of the sort of influential genres of movies.
Yeah, and it was Nicholas Musaraka who did the cinematography, sorry, for this.
Yeah.
Who is, you know, pretty goddamn influential in terms of helping develop this, you know, this genre and this look. I mean, he's the one who does the cinematography for Cat People, for example. And
also a Jacques Tourneur film.
Yeah, and The Spiral Staircase.
Ooh, good film.
Yeah, so he's got a lot of he's got a lot of, you know, previous with this. He also brings this sort of noir cinematography to a film they made a year later called Blood on the Moon, also with Robert Mitchum, which is a western.
I have not seen that.
Also a really good movie, and yeah.
I love like that chiaroscuro German expressionist style of cinematography in those movies. It's so cool, like just the way they create shadows and the lighting and everything. It's just so nice.
It's a hugely influential look. I mean, I don't think, you know, I think it's easy to just sort of leave it in the past, as it were. But it has carried forward, and people still reference it in, you know, contemporary films and in, you know, fashion, in all sorts of things, you know, video games. It's really kind of endured, and I think it helped bring American cinema forward into the, you know, into the post-war era in this really pleasing way. And I think it's great that at the height of the Hollywood studio system, where people are pumping out, you know, frothy musicals and romances and things like that, there's also this kind of, in the smaller studios and in and the smaller stages and in the sort of B-movie area, you get these films that are just getting churned out by these masterful directors like Jacques Tourneur and Eddie Dimitrik, and you know, all these fantastic, you know, John Huston, Orson Welles, of course, also did there a few, but, you know, smaller directors who are perhaps less well known, you know, put these films out that that just help create a new genre. I just suddenly realized I did recommend a film noir once before, and that was Pick Up on South Street. And
yeah,
obviously
that's a really
Sam Fuller is cutting his teeth in the same genre. So anyway, I can't get enough of this stuff. I think it's great. I think this Pick Up on South Street has a bit more of a, I don't know, it feels a bit more like a film made in the 50s. I think this is the sort of, if you want what the French critics were seeing, what they were calling film noir, this is where you should come. I guess the other film I would say is, helps really, for me anyway, define the genre, is Edward Dimitrik's Murder, My Sweet. But
yeah, that's a good film. That's one
I'll recommend that another time.
Yeah, that's my favorite, one of my favorite movies. One of my top favorite films is that film. Would you say like the film noir genre was like really successful in the 1940s, like more than in the 1950s or anything like that?
Yeah, I think by the 50s, you've got the problem in the 50s, of course, that cinema is competing with television, and the way that film noir movies, or the films we call film noir now, were shot, were actually worked really well for television because it was cheap.
Yeah.
But the genre still, I mean, it still carries over into the 50s. It carries over into the 60s.
Yeah.
you know, that's black and white, the way black and white cinematography is used, but it does start to die out. And I think the true era of noir is here. But then the people revisit the genre, because it's not just the look and feel, it's also the worldview of these movies. And I think especially in the 70s, you get the rise of the sort of neo-noir films. And, you know, obviously Chinatown is at the top of that list, but you could talk about, other films as well as being part of that, even, you know, something like The Conversation or The Friends of Eddie Coyle, or, obviously they did throwback Philip Marlowe Robert Mitchum again playing an older Marlowe in Farewell My Lovely.
Well, he did it twice.
And then you get stuff as recently as LA Confidential and Sin City, you know, which could play with the genre too. So, but I think the rise of television kind of does affect how people are making B movies. And I think then in the 50s you get, I think Westerns come back in a huge way. In the 50s, I was thinking about, you know, in terms of the 1940s, you do get great Westerns being made, but really the decade I think most people really associate with Hollywood Westerns is the 50s. Even though they're always, you know, as I say, they're constantly being churned out. And I think in the 50s, you get science fiction too. So perhaps slightly less hard-boiled detective flicks and more creature features. Come out in the 50s. But then again, in France, they start making their own versions of these films. And Rafifi and Alphaville and things like that, which are loving tributes to film noir. So, yeah, the genre endures. And thank goodness. But I think really, for me, it's, go back to almost watch any black and white film from the 40s that has any kind of darkness at its core, and you will see the influence of film noir, even something like Casablanca.
Yeah. What would be like your top five favorite film noir films?
Oh, goodness. This, Murder, My Sweet. The Naked City is another great one. T-Men, directed by Anthony Mann. The Third Man, I have to say, The Lady from Shanghai. Now you see, now I'm naming millions of them.
Yeah.
But like in terms of the sort of really stereotypical ones, I suppose you'd have to say that Bogart is in there too. So where, you know, take your pick from The Big Sleep or from it suddenly occurs to me what the best one of them all is, and that's In a Lonely Place by Nicholas Ray.
Yeah, that's a good film. That's a really good
top
film.
Top five then, film wise, let's do it. Naked City, Out of the Past, Murder, My Sweet, In a Lonely Place, T-Men. Boom. I've left out loads of stuff. Oh, fuck it. Pick up on South Street. Oh, see, now I can't. Okay, let's get out of here before I drive myself crazy trying to think of this.
Yeah. I think one of my favorites from this time, which was written by Raymond Chandler, is Double Indemnity.
Oh, shit. I forgot about fucking Double Indemnity. Yes. That's another really, really great film.
Yeah. I also quite like Mildred Pierce, the one that Joan Crawford was in, the one that she won the Oscar for.
I've never actually seen Mildred Pierce.
Yeah, it's actually not that bad. It's good. It's a James M. Cain book.
I'm sure it's better than not that bad. It's pretty highly regarded.
Yeah. Michael Curtiz, Casablanca director, made it.
Yeah. God, he did a hatful of great movies. Anyway, we should get out of here before we start boring people. So go watch Out of the Past and then go and read a bunch of Raymond Chandler, smoke a bunch of cigarettes, drink a bunch of whiskey, and watch more film noir movies.
Yeah, but you know, you
can
do
all that. That's my medical advice.
Do all that, but don't follow women around, because that is bad.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that. The gender stuff in these films is not don't follow that example.
Yes, and stay inside, which is the main thing to do these days.
Yeah, well, these are often very interior films, so there you go.
Yeah, well,
and they're often about loneliness.
Yeah, in a lonely place.
Yes, isolation. Right.
So, anyway, that concludes another episode of Holmes Movies Recommends. That was Out of the Past, recommended by Adam. Do check back to see what I will be recommending. Have a good one.
Bye.